Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be a friend of God. And my guest has written a book that helps people become a friend of God. It's called God's Supernatural Power. My guest is Bobby Connor, who has just a marvelous gift of prophecy. Bobby, you said on yesterday's broadcast, you knew when an attempt was made on your life of an abortion in your mother's womb. But what was the first time that you can recall hearing God's audible voice?
Okay, Sid, the first time I can really recall was when I was 5 years old. My brother and sister had gone to public school, and this is my first time to ever be by myself without a sibling. And we're in East Texas, so I walked down behind my mother's house, which seemed like a mile or so, but really it's probably 200 or 300 yards. And I'm a little bitty, blonde-headed, 5-year-old kid. So I walked down to this grove of trees, and I lay down on my stomach. I'm laying on the grass, and I put my hands on my face and my hands, and I said out of my mouth, I said, "Well, I guess I'll have to be by myself." And when I said that, a wind came, a wonderful wind came and got whirling around in the top of the tree above my head, and a voice spoke to me out of the wind and said, "No, Bobby, you'll never be by yourself. See." And when this voice said, "See," the heavens, the sky, rolled back just like you'd roll a scroll back, and I saw what I thought was horses running back and forth across heaven with their mane and their tails on fire. And what it was angels, but I'm a little boy from Texas, so they looked like flaming horses. And so then I thought everybody saw that. So when I got around some of my little kids, my little friends, I told them, I said, "Man, I can see into the sky." And they laughed at me and mocked me. So I thought, I'll never tell anybody that I could see into the sky. And but that was my first time to ever have the voice of God speak to me where I knew that it was a supernatural thing.
Well, you explained on yesterday's broadcast how you went from a double-barreled shotgun in your mouth to wanting to commit suicide to giving your heart to God. But did many prophetic things happen to you over the years where you just knew things about people and you kept it to yourself?
Yes. Before I was converted, I believe I got the gift when I was in my mama's womb. And then even when I was growing up, I could tell if the telephone was going to ring. I could tell if my mother was going to drop a set of dishes or if somebody was going to walk into the room, what kind of conversation they were going to have. And but I thought everybody was that away. And then when I got converted, the only friends I had were Baptist friends. And so when I finally told some of them, they go, "Oh, no, that's not right." So then I tried to shun the gift and wouldn't let it operate. And then finally the Lord spoke to me and said, "Bobby, I've got more power to direct you than the devil does to deceive you." So then I started letting the Holy Spirit do whatever he wanted to do.
Well, that's amazing you were able to bust out of that box because, I mean, you're taught theologically these gifts aren't for today, and yet the gifts are operating. Tell me the most significant thing, one of the first most significant things when you were able to use these gifts without being intimidated.
Okay, this is one of a time that the gift worked that was very beneficial for me. Like I told you on yesterday's broadcast, my father passed away when I never knew him, and so my mother was in a very hard time. And so one time a voice came to me and said, "Don't get on that pony." Just a very strong voice. So I said, "What pony?" And the voice said again, "Don't get on that pony." So my brother was 1 year older than myself, so I tell my brother, "Don't get on that pony." And he said, "What pony?" I said, "I don't know, but just don't get on that pony." And then this is the strange thing. One day my uncle came. My mother fixed our little clothes up, and me and my mother and my brother and our little sack of clothes get in the car with my uncle, and we drive for hours outside of Athens, Texas, to up around Amarillo, somewhere there. And we pull into a long driveway, drive down to a ranch house, and so help me, a woman walks up with a little bitty Shetland pony and two cowboy hats, and she says, little boys, get on the pony. And I started screaming, we're not getting on that pony. And we scooted over in the back seat and started screaming and crying. And my mother started crying and said, I can't do it. But here's what the deal was, Sid. That was an orphan's home. And that's how they would take the children away from the parents. They would bring them to the car and let the little boys ride off on a pony. And then the parents would drive off. Isn't that something?
That is amazing. Now, I have to tell you something, Bobby. I evaluate prophets on the accuracy of their prophecy. Does the prophecy come to pass?
Yes.
And many times I'm disappointed, and many times I see the genuine gift. I wonder if you could tell me a few prophecies that you have had that have come to pass.
Okay, yeah. One was concerning George W. Bush becoming president of the United States, and I got caught up into way up into heaven, and I saw a light flashing, and finally, and to make a long story short, I asked the Lord, I said, what do you want? He said, I want George W. Bush to run for president, and if the church will pray and really extend their intercessory prayer, I'll speak again to the nations through a burning bush. And so then he said, go to Washington, D.C. and prophesy this. This was before George W. Bush chose to run for president, and so that came to pass. And then
I have to ask you, now that you're saying that, has God given you any insight into this current election?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord's been very silent concerning this coming election. I'll tell you, a couple of years ago, since you've asked the question, a couple of years ago, the Lord came to me and he said to me, who do you want to be president? And I didn't understand the severity of it, so I quipped back at him and told him who I didn't want to be president. And then he rebuked me and said, that was not the question you were asked. And then so humbly I asked him, who do you want to be president? And here's what he told me. The only thing I can genuinely say that the Lord told me concerning this coming election is this. He said, if the church will pray, I will sustain the nation through dark days through a brown bag. It'll be as the lad's loaves and fishes. That's what he said. And then he said, don't tell anybody. And so I kept that for about a year and a half. And then one day he said, now you can tell. So I told, and then Lou Engle and some of the other guys got the prophecy, but that's the only thing I really
What does that prophecy mean?
I honestly don't know. All I know was, you remember Mike Huckabee? The guys asked him once, they said, how can you explain getting as far as you've got with this least amount of monies you've got and the least amount of support? He said, well, the only way I can describe it is it's like the lad's loaves and fishes. So he used the very same terminology the Lord gave me, but I don't know. That's, you know, and then I don't have anything else from the Lord concerning it, but I know it's very important that the church pray and that we get the right person in there.
It's are we going through some treacherous, dark times in this country?
Very dark. The Bible said, watchman, watchman, what do you see? And the watchman replied, I see both things, light and night.
That's my perception also. We're going to have the best times in the world for true believers and the worst times in the world for the world.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's Isaiah 60, verse 1. It's time to rise and shine, for a light has come. Darkness is going to come across the people, but the Lord's light and glory will be upon his people.
Now, I'm holding your new book, God's Supernatural Power, and I'm very, very excited about what's going to happen when people read this. What type of feedback? It is a new book, but what type of feedback are you getting on this book?
Getting a lot of good response. People, the number one response we get is encouraging the people to realize that they have a destiny, that they're not just some kind of a biological birth, that God pre-planned their life and that he's got a wonderful destiny for them. And we try to show them who they are. The first chapter deals with the identity crisis. Heaven and hell both are posing the exact same question to every person on earth. Heaven, God, hell, the devil. They're asking the very same question. They're synchronized on what they're asking the people. And here it is. Who do you think you are? And see, the Bible said, as a person thinks, so they are going to live. And so we need our opinion of ourselves changed. God has confidence in this generation, or he'd never let us live in these crucial hours. One of my favorite verses, Sid, right now is Philippians 2:13. It is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And boy, can you imagine the creature doing something that would bring the Creator good pleasure? So I found out what that is. It's Luke 12:32. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So that's what the book deals with.
And you know what I catch from your book, though? It's time to get out of the audience and become a performer rather than a spectator.
That's right. You know, he says the kingdom of God doesn't consist just with talk, but with action. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to really, I love what the Lord told me once. He said, tell my people that they're about to believe what they know. It's going to move from the head to the heart to the hands. It's going to move just from head knowledge to real heart faith and then actually become doers of the word and not just hearers only.
And a book of this nature is so important at this moment because I believe God's up to something new. I believe in the atmosphere. Whereas the things you prayed and you didn't see results, you're going to be praying now, assuming you haven't given up, and you're going to start seeing results.
We are in a time of God's favor. It's 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. We're in a time of God's help and God's favor. Paul said it's the acceptable time. It's a time of God's favor, a time that God will help us. And so I'm very excited to see the day we're in. I believe we're in Hosea 10, 12. People go, that verse said, it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon us.
You mentioned an intriguing thing in your book, that the Lord is looking for friends. What do you mean by that?
Oh, I love John 15, 15. He said, I don't call you a servant any longer. I'll call you a friend. And friends really communicate with one another. And I believe it's probably the highest accolade we could receive, being called a friend of the Lord.
Okay. Are you tired of being a spectator? Are you tired of watching others move in the supernatural? Well, I think that's a tiredness that's coming from God. You're getting a call. This is your call. And I also love, Bobby, in your book where you talk about how to develop hunger for God.
Oh, I love that. Psalms 42 says, as a little desert deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 63:1 said, I thirst after thee, after the living God. And that's what God's been doing, I believe, Sid. I believe he's been fanning the flame of discontentment in the hearts of God's people so we'll not settle for less than God wants to give us. He's been initiating that holy hunger.
Well, what does someone do that has that holy hunger?
It's Isaiah 44:3. God said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, and they will spring up like willows by the waterways. If we're hungry and desperate, God will fill us.
Listen, this book is literally a manual to get you out of the audience and become a participant. For a donation of $20, God's supernatural power. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.